Joshua chapter 1. I'm going to read the entire chapter. Please give your attention to the Word of God. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And Joshua commanded the officers of the people, pass through the midst of the camp, and command the people, prepare your provisions, for within 3 days you are to pass over this Jordan, go in to take possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving you to possess. And to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, remember the word that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God is providing you a place of rest and will give you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your livestock shall remain in the land that Moses gave you beyond the Jordan. But all the men of valor among you shall pass over armed before your brothers and shall help them, until the Lord gives rest to your brothers, as he has to you, and they also take possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving them. Then you shall return to the land of your possession, and shall possess it, the land that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you, beyond the Jordan, toward the sunrise. And they answered Joshua, all that you have commanded us we will do, and wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we obeyed Moses in all things, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you, as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your commandment and disobeys your words, whatever you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. Now this is the first book of the Bible after the Torah. The Torah is the first 5 books, come from Moses. This is the very next book. And it begins on a scary note. After the death of Moses, they're outside the promised land. They're about to enter it. But there's strong nations already living there. And this is where their parents had lost their courage. And the parents had had Moses. And the parents had had recent memories of what God did in Egypt. But now they don't have Moses. And the memories of the plagues are receding. How could they take the land? Now, you and I have never had Moses. We have Jesus. When you repent and believe in Jesus, that's when he leads you out of Egypt and you are no longer a slave to your sins. But that means that we're in the same place as Israel in this passage. We have received half of our redemption. We are no longer slaves to sin as they were no longer slaves to Egypt. But they still had the other half. They had to go in and take the promised land. And so we also need to persevere and go in and inherit the true promised land. And it's a good time for this message because we're starting a new year. So we're on the brink, you could say, of a new period of time. And maybe you're newly alone. Or maybe you're aware of your past failures to overcome. So let's look at what God's Word has to say to those who are on the brink of something new, something frightening. We have here first God's word to Joshua. We get 9 verses. And what's so interesting to me is that God is speaking here to a man that he has prepared very well. If you go back and you look through the Torah, what do we already know about Joshua? There's a lot there. When we first meet Joshua, it's Exodus 17. He's a young man, and he's the one Moses taps to be the general to lead the soldiers in battle against the Amalekites who've been picking off their stragglers. And that's the time where Moses goes up on the hill over the battle. And when he has his hands up, Israel wins. When he puts his hands down, Israel starts to lose. So Joshua gets a first-hand demonstration that the key ingredient in any struggle is God's blessing and involvement. When we next see Joshua, it's when Moses and Aaron and the 70 elders are up on the mountain and they eat with God. They have a covenant ceremony, making a covenant with God. And after that, Moses goes all the way up the mountain. And Joshua goes up partway with him. And that's when you get into the golden calf. And as Moses comes down, he meets Joshua. Joshua is obviously waiting for him halfway up the mountain. That's when Joshua says, "It sounds like war in the camp." Moses says, "No, sounds like partying." So Joshua was with Moses on that occasion. Next time we see Joshua, Moses had pitched a tent that he would meet with the Lord in. It's outside the camp. And it says when Moses would leave the camp, would leave the tent to go into the camp, then Joshua would stay at the tent. He wouldn't leave the tent. When the 12 spies go into the land, Joshua is the spy that represents the tribe of Ephraim. And there's a note there that he was originally named Hoshea, which means salvation. But Moses renamed him Joshua, which means the Lord is salvation. Moses renames him to point him and all Israel to the fact that it's the Lord who gives salvation. Joshua is not the salvation. The Lord is salvation. And when the 10 tribes, and when the 12 spies, come back, and 10 of them counsel despair, "We can't do it, they're too big." Joshua's one of the two that says, "We can do it if God is with us. Don't rebel against God." Of course, when they rebel, then Joshua and Caleb are the only two that God says will enter the land, which I think makes Joshua one of the two oldest guys at this point. All right, everybody else in that generation has died. Okay. Finally, Numbers 27, when God tells Moses, "Go up the mountain and take a look at the promised land, and then you're going to die," Moses says to God, "Appoint a man to lead Israel so that your people won't be like sheep without a shepherd." And God says, "Bring Joshua here, and bring him to the priest, and lay your hands on him in front of all the people so they can all see that he is the appointed successor." So that's his preparation. Among all the people there, he's had unique experience in battle, unique experience with God, unique experience with spying, unique experience with standing against the tide. He's been visibly appointed, and if it helps, he's the oldest guy in the room. And yet God still speaks to him. Despite all the preparation, he doesn't leave Joshua to figure it out on his own. He gives him encouragement at this moment of uncertainty. He shows up for Joshua. And he gives instructions. Moses is dead. Now, he had to say that, actually. First, I thought that was dumb. And I said, no. Moses goes up the mountain and dies by himself. So Joshua does need to know. This is not another golden calf thing. You don't have to wait for him. He's dead this time. Okay, he's dead. Now, arise and go over the Jordan, you and all the people. The plan is still on. Just because Moses is dead, it's not over yet. No, the plan is still in place. His death doesn't change anything except that now you're in charge. But everything else is still moving forward. And God promises them success. In verses 2, 3, and 4, all the yous there are plural. All right? Every place at the sole of all your all foot steps will be yours. He promises them success. This large territory that eventually only David and Solomon actually rule over. And then God has words for Joshua as an individual. From verses 5 to 9, the yous are singular. And it's carefully built up. It's a chiasm, But what that means is you give instructions and you build up to the climax and then you back out with the same points that you came in on. Alright? So, he gives a promise, then he says courage, then he says obey, And then he backs out. Courage and promise. Right? That's the chiasm. First, he starts a threefold promise. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. That means no one can face you down. No one can defeat you. And he needed that. Moses has had to face down Pharaoh. Moses had had to deal with a lot of rebellion from the people. Joshua knew it all. And so God tells him, neither an enemy nor a rebel is going to stand before you. Why not? Second piece. Because I will be with you as I was with Moses. Moses had always prevailed because God was with him. And so the third piece, I will not leave you or forsake you. You have the ongoing presence of God. So second point, how should you feel? You should be strong and courageous. You will make them inherit. That word again from this morning, inherit. And then comes the central point. Be strong. Joshua says, I know we're going to have battles coming. No, be strong to obey all the law that you received through Moses. Do you realize it takes courage to keep God's word? We think about courage for battle, courage for speaking your mind, courage when you're facing death, and all those are times you need courage. But here the heavy emphasis is on have courage to keep God's word. Now, why does it take courage to keep God's word? I mean, it takes knowledge, it takes information, but why does it take courage? Well, because others may not want to keep God's word. They may not want to hear from you about it. So you risk conflict with them when you say we're going to do what God said. And it may not seem wise or cool or appropriate. It takes courage to buck the moment, buck the group, buck the culture. And so God underlines it, even for the very well-prepared Joshua. Be courageous. Keep the law. And as if he didn't have enough promises already, he adds another. And you'll have success. You will have success in all that you do. Now, you can't keep what you don't remember. So he tells Joshua to keep it in mind. He says, the book shall not depart from your mouth. That means it's got to be in your mind. And as you're the leader, you help other people keep it in their minds. And you shall meditate on it. You shall keep it in your mind actively. Turn it over and rehearse it. Then you'll be able to keep it when it's uppermost in your mind. And he backs out. Be courageous, because I'm going to be with you. Now, there's some parallels here between what Joshua's facing, what Israel's facing, and what we're facing. We haven't lost our leader of 40 years. We don't anticipate physical warfare. But there's always spiritual warfare. There's always temptation. There's always worldly pressure. There's always the temptation to despair. What's the point? And so as we're about to start our year, if we're going forward to what God is giving us, we need to have courage to obey God's word. And you see these ingredients. The first, you have to know it. So I encourage you to plan now how you're going to keep God's word in your mind. We have more tools to do that than any previous generation. If you don't want to read it, you can put it on audiobook. All right? I don't have time. Well, if you have time in a car, I take the train, get a headphone. I mean, there's so many ways you can keep God's word in front of you. But of course, it's not enough to read it. Then you have to do it. And so whatever you're most aware of needing to keep, how are you going to keep it? Because it won't just happen. It takes effort. It takes courage. And we have the same promise from Jesus that Joshua had from God. Jesus said, I will be with you always to the end of the age. That's the gospel promise here. That God's special promise to Joshua is Jesus' constant promise to us that he will be with us wherever we go. So we began with God's word to Joshua. Next we see Joshua obeying. He speaks the word to Israel. It's the next six verses. He takes on Moses' role. He's the mediator of God's commandments to the people. Before it was God spoke to Moses, Moses spoke to Israel.
Now it's God speaks to Joshua. Joshua has to speak to Israel.
But that takes courage. You tell 2 million people what to do, and they don't do it. Well, now what are you going to do? You're really outnumbered. And so it takes courage. And the last time this nation had been told to enter the promised land, they had rebelled. Joshua knew. He begged them not to. Not only had they not listened to Moses last time, they hadn't listened to Joshua last time. But he took courage. And he gave the order. 3 days, we're going in. And then he had a special case to address, because so often there's a special case. So often you can't just give the order, then you've got to deal with the special case. And they'd already fought battles on the eastern side of the Jordan River. They had defeated King Sihon and King Og, which is just the best name ever for a bad king, King Og. All right, and they defeated the Midianites. And then 2.5 tribes, the tribes that had a lot of livestock, said, you know what, we like it here. We don't see any reason to cross the Jordan River and inherit the promised land. We got all that we need right here. And Moses had objected, whoa, you're going to dishearten everybody. You can't be bailing on the mission. And so they promised, hey, our warriors will go in, but just let us leave the family and the livestock here and let us come back to them. And Moses said, okay. And he'd given Joshua instructions about them. So Joshua goes to them specifically and says, I remember your situation. I remember your deal. Now keep it. And this is the tough case. These are the ones who've already inherited the land that they want. Are they going to do it, or are they going to beg off? It takes courage to lead. And so I have to ask everyone here who is a leader, are you leading? We have a special case. Fathers, are you leading the family to have family worship? If not, how are you helping your family to meditate on God's word? Easy way to do it is to read it to them. And that takes courage. I heard recently of a father, he said, we're going to have family worship. He got pushed back from a kid and he chickened out. And that was the end of family worship in the family. You can't do that. You have to persevere. I'm sure I learned more Bible in family worship than I did in church. Because we'd have family worship maybe 4 days a week. And you have church one day a week, that's 4 to 1. I'd have more chances to learn Bible at home than in church. But it takes courage to do it. And now the rubber meets the road. God has spoken. Joshua has spoken. But what is Israel going to say? They complained against Moses on a regular basis. They refused to enter the promised land. Joshua wants to know, okay, is God going to make my first step easy, or is it going to be tough from the beginning? And we get the answer in 3 verses. This time it's obedience. They say, yes, sir, all that you have commanded we will do. It gets better. Wherever you send us, we will go. Promise of future obedience. Now, it's in the present, so you have to wait and see. But they're promising not only now, but later. It gets a little iffy. As we obeyed Moses in all things, so we will obey you. But they mean well. Whoever rebels against your word shall be put to death. All right, they're putting this very strongly. All right, you're the man. We're going to do it. Only, what do you mean only? Why are you saying only? Only be strong and courageous, and may the Lord be with you as he was with Moses. That's the best thing in there. They're acknowledging, first of all, that God was with Moses. They're conceding the basic point. Why are we doing this? Because God is with Moses. And now they're not foolishly giving Joshua too much authority. They're not putting him up too high on a pedestal. They're saying only may God be with you, because that's the reason that will follow you. And then they say the same thing God had been saying. Only be strong and courageous. There's a lot of things that popes get wrong. For starters, taking the job. But John Paul II did get one thing right. His signature phrase during his long tenure, whatever it is, was this: be not afraid. That was his basic message. Be not afraid. And that's a good message, because it's a message we often meet in Scripture. It's God's message to us. Don't be afraid of people.
Don't be too afraid of the devil. Be not afraid. And so in this chapter, we get it four times. Be strong and courageous. It's what God had to say to Joshua. God had Israel say it to Joshua. Which means that we need to recognize something. We are prone to fear. We're prone to weakness. We need to be strong and courageous. If it was easy or automatic, he wouldn't have to say it so often. Be strong and courageous. But you say, wait a minute. There's a lot of things to be afraid of. The no fear slogan is foolish. Yes. That doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Oh, really? What about what cripples you? How can we be strong and courageous? Because Jesus promises, I will be with you always to the end of the age. Jesus is the one who removes the barrier between us and God, our guilt and our sin. And having removed the barrier, he removes the penalty. And so having reconciled us to God, he gives God to us. He says, you will inherit the land. And so that is how we will receive the second half of our salvation. We'll inherit the eternal kingdom, of which the promised land was a foreshadowing. So what we need as we enter a new year is strength and courage that's based on the promise of God's presence. Strength and courage to persevere in following Jesus because he has said that he will not leave us or forsake us. And so as we begin this new year, hear the word of God and courageously do it because he has said, I am with you always to the very end of the age. Let's join together in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opening chapter and your words to Joshua. And as he listened and took courage, so I pray that we would listen and take courage. And help us, Lord, not to take courage to do things of our own imagining, but help us to courageously do all that you call us to do. Help us to meditate on your word and keep it in mind. And Lord, help us not to walk by our flesh, but to walk by our spirit, to walk in reliance on you, calling on you, and asking you to keep your promise, always to be with us by your Holy Spirit. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen.